Coming from the Caveman Studios in Buffalo, New York, welcome to Caveman Corner with your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Thanks.
Click subscribe and the bell. Do it now!
Hello, I'm here with Jamila McBride, Mustafa McBride. We're here once again for another podcast because things are not going well in the world, in the country that I love. I really believe America is the best country in the world, and I believe that we should be open to all faiths and all religions. I've done some podcasts about it. And now your sister had the exact same problem, but Jamila is not allowed to wrestle for what I think is one of the best countries in the world, the United States of America, because of her religious beliefs. And I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you've been on the news, been all over the place. You're actually getting some kickback to this. So at least we're getting the message out, and I'll let you tell me what's going on.
Yeah. So basically, right now I wrestle at Life University. It's a NAIA school. So because it's an Olympic year, there was a rule that if you won nationals, you automatically qualify to compete at Olympic team trials. And alhamdulillah, praise God, I won nationals, so I qualified to compete at Olympic team trials. And then after nationals, I reached out to Cody Bickley from USA Wrestling to inquire about my eligibility to compete, and was told that UWW still held the same ruling on the uniform and that USA Wrestling had to abide by UWW guidelines. So I wasn't able to compete at any qualifying competitions or international events. And so
can I ask you a question right here? Mm-hmm. I know when this happened with Latifah, she made it through our qualifying heat, the United States, correct?
Yes.
And yeah. So now since then, they've eliminated your ability to, they've actually taken a step back. So now you're not allowed to wear the hijab and the loose fitting pants.
Yeah. So to start from the beginning, this all kind of started 3 years ago. So in 2020, I believe it was, we reached out to USA Wrestling and in turn UWW to see if we would be allowed to wear the UWW classic uniform at the 2021 national and world team trials. And it got approved by both USA Wrestling and UWW. So we showed up in Texas, we competed. We all American that year. So we were all top eight. And then before the 2022 tournament.
I'm gonna stop it just one more time. I'm sorry. We all means her and her sisters, right? Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so not just her, like her sisters as well, because this family is phenomenal in wrestling, and like my country is losing out on this family of wrestlers because of something stupid. I'm sorry. Continue.
So me, Lissy Fanzana, we all got approved to wear it. We all competed in two different weight classes each, and so. First year, we all American. Second year, we reached out again to get approval before the 2022 national and world team trials. Got approval again. There was no issue. There was no talk about potential advantage or safety concern or anything. Got approved. We showed up. We competed. We all American again, except this time Latifah placed second. So she lost to Amit Elor and made the Pan Am team. And after she qualified for the Pan Am team, we were informed that if she showed up in her in the classic uniform, UWW classic uniform, she wouldn't be allowed to compete. And so she wasn't allowed to go compete in Mexico. She wasn't allowed to represent the US. And after that, they actually retracted and said, well, you're not allowed to compete at any USA Wrestling events that are qualifying competitions or international events. So since 2022, we haven't been able to compete at any USA Wrestling events. Coach Carlene Slaversky, she's the head coach at Duval. She actually put a motion in to get the uniform approved in the NAIA. and it got approved in the NAIA, got approved in the NCAA. So for the past 2 years, we've just been competing collegiately. There are a lot of collegiate competitions that we've competed at where it's both NAIA, NCAA, Pan Am team members, World team members. They're just not
non-collegiate. Non-collegiate wrestlers as well is what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. The tournament is just not under USA Wrestling. But last year we lost out on being able to compete at National World Team Trials again, which meant we lost out on the opportunity to make another Pan Am or World Team. And based on the results of that, the people who won those spots are people that we have wrestled and some of them have beat. So it would have been very possible that we could have made a Pan Am or World Team. We also just
this lost. Is that age level she's speaking of. Mm-hmm. So when she's talking about World Team Trials, every year America holds the World Team Trials for age levels. So U17, U19, U20, U23, right? So once you're in that category by way of age, you have the opportunity to compete to be on that team year after year after year. But once you're no longer in that age category, you lose that year or that age category opportunity. So every year that's gone by, since they've denied us the opportunity, my daughters have missed the opportunity of that experience of even trying to be on the world team. They've missed the opportunity of perhaps possibly being on the world team and all of the things that come with it. There's a lot that, and I didn't realize this, and for many people who don't know, when you have these achievements, things come your way. There's the way that people are actually monetizing this and making a living out of their accomplishments, putting their heart into this work, and then getting some recompense back. And they are actually preventing my daughters from having the opportunity of expanding their resume to be able to say that I'm an Olympic team qualifier participant, to be able to say I'm an Olympic team Olympic team trial placer, you know, all American, an Olympian medalist, an Olympian gold medal, right? Each one of those is a tier that you jump in possible things that are possible that are given to you. Right, like in terms of just running camps or privates or establishing a school or being a coach, right? My daughters are not privy to this any longer, and I'm almost scared that after this debacle, that they're going to change the rules for college, and say, well, if you win in the nationals at any college level, you won't automatically qualify now for whatever else we actually qualified for that I don't even know. This is a whole new world for me. We didn't know that if you won nationals, you'd automatically qualify. We didn't know, right? This is a whole new world. So, but I'm not a gambling man, but if I did, I'd probably bet on they're going to create some new rule to inhibit my daughters and all the other Muslim women, because there are other Muslim women who are covering at various levels who are wrestling from having this opportunity. And basically what it's communicating is this: you can play with us when you lose. As long as you lose, you can play. But damn it, if you start winning, we can't have that.
Yeah, that's kind of why I stopped Jamila earlier, and I asked about Latifa, because I knew that she went through this whole thing and she qualified. And now it seems like they don't want to give you a chance to qualify because they very much fear you're going to qualify. So I thought this was a pretty important point that we stopped and we talked about. Not only that, absolutely, it allows you access to the Olympic Training Center as well, correct? If you make that team.
Yeah,
so that in itself is like huge.
World team camps, and I believe there was even a qualifier camp, but I'm not 100% sure on it, but I believe it was not for all qualifiers, only people who qualified through the U.S. Open, maybe. I'm not 100% sure on that. But yeah, it does open you up to camps at the OTC and just a point on what my dad said, but for us not being able to compete these past 2 years, Zaina lost out on her opportunity last year to compete at the U17 World Team Trials. She's 18 now. She can't compete there again. I lost out on the opportunity to compete at the U20s. I'm 21 now. I can't compete there anymore. So those are opportunities that have been lost and can never be gotten back. So I can never say I'm a U20 World Team member or a U20 Pan Am team member. Zaina can never say she's a U17 World Team member. So there are already a lot of opportunities that have already been lost. And the longer this goes, the more opportunities are just going to be lost. The other point I wanted to make was about the uniform at the NAIA level. It's not just for Muslim women. So it's for anyone who doesn't want to wear a singlet. So you don't have to be Muslim or Jewish or any of any faith that want to wear the uniform or not want to wear the singlet. The uniform has been approved for anyone based on personal choice or religious belief to wear the uniform. So, it's not just for Muslim women.
This is an important point. This is an important point about the uniform and in relation to wrestling in the United States. USA Wrestling and wrestling as a whole is killing itself. It seems as though they haven't learned from the situation of when they allowed the change of wrestling uniforms at the high school level, that participation increased tenfold. I spoke to a coach out in Amherst who said, I don't have enough uniforms for the number of people who are coming out for wrestling when they switch to allowing kids to wear rash guards and fight shorts. We know of women, there's actually a world level woman that we've been informed of who years ago tried to petition to not wear the singlet. And she had no recourse and they blocked her. And in order for her to wrestle, you know, she just didn't want to wear it. She didn't feel comfortable in it. Do you remember the lady's name, Jamina?
Her name was Brandy Miller, but I don't know if she petitioned it. I just know she didn't want to wear it.
Okay.
And she was, I believe, bronze at the 2008 Olympics.
So my point was that by increasing, the numbers of wrestling can grow, right? That's a known thing. But how do you increase it? By actually appealing to people. And this good old boys club of restricting people is really unfortunate. And what's even more unfortunate for me now is when we're dealing with what we're dealing with for my daughters, the number of women in USA Wrestling whose mouths are quiet is really disturbing, because the good old boys club kept women out of wrestling for years, for so many years, until they started their own movement, Wrestle Like a Girl. And now it's the fastest growing sport in the country. So now you got co-opted by the man, and now your mouth is shut instead of you fighting for your sisters. Right. This is kind of crazy when I think about it. Like, you were on the outside, but as soon as you got part of the in crowd, you forgot us peons, right? In effect, you're limiting wrestling from being extended to a group of people, who need wrestling. Young girls, they need wrestling. It's unbelievable. Not to mention Muslim girls, or people who just, girls who don't want to wear a singlet, right? And one of the things, I'm going to be honest with you, the objectification of women takes different forms. And USA Wrestling, UW, is objectifying the women, just as the women are being objectified in track or volleyball or gymnastics.
Yeah. That new track outfit, that's crazy, right? Awful.
Right? So, it's crazy. But that's what they want. And that's why they don't want my daughter, because they won't uncover. This is objectification. There's a statement that was told to us by an Olympian level female wrestler who said they've petitioned or they've requested that they increase the weight classes in women's wrestling And they were told by people in USA Wrestling, well, women don't look good in singlets at those weights. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to do that.
That's awful. I want to like steer back to the uniform itself. For people that aren't aware of what the differences in the uniform are between what you wear and what is allowed by USA Wrestling, UWW. So a classic singlet is like a rash guard type material, cuts off a little bit below your junk, not too much below your junk if you're a guy. So like if you're a white guy, just imagine like a well-endowed guy. So it's going to cut off right around, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 inches below your hip line. And the top is like down for men, and for women it's across, but it's still very exposed. And what is the style of outfit that you wear when you wrestle, or your uniform when you wrestle?
So we wear a modified classic uniform. So classic wrestling uniform, it actually comes from a UWW. It is the UWW approved classic uniform for Muslim women in Iran to wrestle. And so we've modified it a little bit over the years. But essentially what we wear is a singlet underneath everything so that in case anything comes up or anything moves, we still remain covered. And then we wear a rash guard type shirt on top of that. It's long sleeves, compression almost is compression. And it has a hood on it that we sew up the front, and that acts as our hijab. And we tape it to our head so it doesn't come off. We wear our team competition shirt on top of that. And then we have Velcro on the outside of our shirt and then on the inside of our pants. And we Velcro our shirt to the inside of our pants. So that way our shirt doesn't come out or move at all. Our shirt is also tapered, so there's no extra material on the sides or any extra material hanging out. And then we wear pants that are cinched at the ankles, and then we also tape our pants at the ankles so they don't move or come up at all. And then we wear knee pads to bring the material of our pants in, so there's no extra material at our knees. So it's a lot of layers. Gets pretty hot. but that's the uniform that we currently wear. It differs from the UWW classic uniform in a couple senses. One, they don't have the Velcro incorporated into that uniform. So we've added the Velcro to keep our shirt in. They also don't mention anything about tapering the shirts. They don't mention anything about taping the hijab or taping the pants. So we've modified the uniform from the classic uniform. But yeah, that's what we wear.
They've modified it to ensure that there'll be no particular issues. So the first world team trials, age level world team trials, there's a match where Zayna was wrestling a girl who's currently an Iowa wrestler, Lily Luft. And she's wrestling Lily, and Lily's got this double, but Zayna's shirt kind of came up and went over her head. We didn't complain to stop or anything. She just got herself together and she eventually won the match. I think Lily got the takedown, you know, even though Zayna's face was covered with her, but we didn't complain. We understood that that's going to happen and we're going to fix that. So to make sure hands, fingers, all the arguments that people try to have are not arguments. So that's why the modifications have been put in place with their uniforms.
So we have someone that's watching, Andre Stokes, say if anything, all those layers described would be a disadvantage. That definitely would be a disadvantage. I've wrestled my whole life. I've never, you know, unless someone's wearing something really baggy, I never really got my fingers caught. I think that's kind of a BS argument, especially like we all know how rash guards are. We're all in the game. We all understand how it works. But I think there's a huge competitive disadvantage for you, especially because you're going in there and you're going to be dry. There's material on you. Like imagine doing the difference between gi and no gi. So you're basically doing like a gi match against someone that's in no gi. So while someone else is sweaty and they slip, you're going to be like dry and they're going to stick. So if you get leg lace, your legs are going to be a lot harder to get out. It's going to be a lot harder to escape from guts. Like like when your body locks, it's going to be a lot harder to get out of the throw. There's a lot of competitive disadvantages to this uniform. And this is one of the arguments I've had the whole time. Like, if you're in the sport, you should understand that it's not really any kind of advantage or safety hazard. If anything, it's a disadvantage.
Also, Coach, they grab them. They've wrestled and been grabbed. We don't complain. That you will not find a single match where my daughters say anything. Don't even react. They haven't even reacted. We just keep wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, the grabbing and stuff, that's stuff that comes with it, and you accept it because that's what comes with it. But I think the point you made about people sweating is important, because there was someone who said, like, find me a material like skin, and I'd be okay with them wearing whatever they want. And I was like, okay, find me a material that sweats. Find me a material that if I can shave it and put lotion on, and then I start sweating, it makes it even harder to get a grip. Obviously, that doesn't exist. And with me not getting sweaty during a match, is it an advantage or a disadvantage? I honestly don't have an opinion. I don't feel like there is either way. But I feel like if I were to say that there was a disadvantage to wearing it, it would be weighing in, because for USA wrestling competitions, we don't have private weigh-ins. So their private weigh-ins aren't approved or haven't been approved. So at the NAIA level, or at the collegiate level, whenever we compete, we have private weigh-ins. So it'll be me, Latifa, Zaina, Coach Ashley, our coach, and then a female athletic trainer and a female third party. So it could be another coach, another female athlete, tournament director, anyone else. And we'll go into a locker room or closed off room, and we go through the same weigh-in process that everyone else goes through: singlet, step on the scale, skin checks, all that. But that's not approved for USA wrestling competitions. So at the first two world team trials that we did, to make weight, we had to weigh in with clothes on, which meant we had to cut more weight to make weight. So I feel like that would be the only disadvantage to wearing it at a USA wrestling event. But that's understood going in. So,
Wow, I didn't know that part. That's a huge disadvantage.
Yeah. Especially if you're going a weight class down as it is, because, you know, there's 62, 68, you don't have many other options. But, I honestly feel like that's probably the only disadvantage for me in the uniform. But
if I may, on this issue of the weigh-ins, I mentioned this to you the last time we spoke, but to reiterate, at the World Team Trials, I'd never seen this before. They had like 10, 15 scales in a gym. And in front of each scale were hundreds of girls, like in the gym in line, waiting to weigh in. Now, again, you have to weigh in what you're going to compete in. But you have to weigh in, you know, to make weight. So many of these girls had just their singlet on. In fact, many times they had nothing else on but the singlet, with nothing on underneath, and these singlets were even see-through. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, as I walked in a gym looking for my daughters and saw that, when I turned to walk out, there were men in lawn chairs lined up like crows on a fence, taking it all in. Now, somebody's out there listening to this, and they're going to say, you know, this guy's just, he's just some fundamentalist, or he's a, no, I'm not, and I'm not a weirdo. You guys, if men know what you do, we know what we do. And these men were sitting there looking at these young women from 13 to 20, nearly naked. And the funny thing is, when I say this, people get upset. But the truth of the matter is, and many don't know this, but in the Tokyo Olympics, there was a Japanese woman who led a movement that made the Japanese authorities remove people's cameras from entering the Olympic venues, because these dudes were going there and taking pictures of women in compromising positions and posting them on porn websites. So between that and this track uniform, you're all a bunch of freaks.
Yeah,
you don't like to get called out on it.
It's a real thing. Like that should be a closed room. Even in fighting, like they let women weigh in. Well, I guess not in UFC because you still have to go on stage in front of people. But at least they give a towel. Like it's a little bit different, you know. A little bit different. But like at that level, it's for show. Like when you fight, the ladies go. They weigh in separate from the men. I've never seen a lady weigh in at like a small venue. You know, it's different. It's a different thing. But like that's awful, and that's a true statement that you said. Men are like, if you're a man, you know exactly what they're thinking, no matter what you say inside and like how you carry yourself. You know, like that's in every man, and you know, like six people like that. You know, like it is what it is, and there should be separation. I agree, and there's these young underage women too. Like it's terrible.
Yo, I've never seen anything like it. But when I turned around and walked out and saw all these dudes in lawn chairs with drinks, like it was like, and I said this to someone and they got really upset that how dare I? And I'm like, man, get out. Are you serious?
Just you know, come on. It's just ridiculous. You know, I don't mean to cut you out of this conversation, Jamila. I apologize. I know this is like a very uncomfortable thing for you to sit and listen to, like, two of your mentors talking about this, but like, it is not a good thing. And like, I can just imagine my daughter was in there, how I would feel, you know what I mean? And you're a dad, so you're in there watching it with your daughters in there too. Like, I get the emotion that it brings up. It's a terrible thing. Like the world is like in a weird place right now. Like, and you got men doing swimming. Like it's okay for a man to win a swimming competition in the NCAAs, right? But it's not okay for your girls to wrestle covered up. Like, what is going on in the world? Like, how do we get to this spot?
A really intelligent guy told me, Mustafa, I'm so sorry, but the truth of the matter is, if your daughters were actually guys who had transitioned, they would be allowed, no question. And with the bone structures and the muscle mass of men, they would, and they would be applauded for wrestling and winning here. Amongst women, so, you know, people I think are thinking this way, that how come these women can't just be given the opportunity? I don't know. I probably shouldn't go much further.
I just did want to kind of say about the whole disadvantage and all that stuff with the uniform. So to explain, like, the reason UWW said it was denied was because safety issue and potential advantage and all that stuff. But after 2022 with Latifah and Pan Ams, we were told that the uniform would have to go through a testing process. And so we were never given any guidelines on how this testing would occur, how you were going to scientifically test the advantage or disadvantage of the uniform. So over the past 2 years, haven't really petitioned USA Wrestling, haven't showed up at any events or anything. After Nationals this year and reaching out to USA Wrestling, we filed the opportunity to participate complaint on Monday of this past week. And Wednesday, USA Wrestling reached out and sent us an email from UWW that said they had conducted a test event in Turkey in June, I believe, of last year. And said they deemed there was an unfair advantage. And that was their basis on denying me the opportunity to participate for yesterday and today at Olympic team trials. They did not give any details on anything that was done with the test. So they didn't say if it was, all they said was that there were two wrestlers, that one wore the singlet, one wore the classic uniform, and there were three UWW board members there. And they didn't say, they didn't say if it was two women wrestling. They didn't say what the material of the shirts were. They didn't say if they were wearing an undershirt like we wear. They weren't saying what size the shirt was. Did they wrestle 6 minutes? How did they measure that there was an advantage or disadvantage? Like, they didn't give any details on it at all. And that was the basis that they used to deny us for this weekend. So I just wanted to explain, like, that's... they also, after conducting that test last year, kept it... like, they didn't make it public. So they didn't even let USA Wrestling know that they had conducted this test. They hadn't let us know that they conducted this test. It wasn't until we reached out to participate this weekend that they informed us that they had done that test.
My daughters were actually told, though, at the beginning of their college career, that that was one of the things that was going to happen, that they were going to use my daughter's matches, all three of them, as actually... test opportunities. So my daughters have over 250 matches, none of which are being counted.
We have over 205 collegiate matches. We have,
well, including the previous matches from the world team trials, earlier ages, it's over 250, and none of those are being counted.
Only disadvantages for you guys.
Right.
That's unreal. I did reach out to UWW and I reached out to USA Wrestling for this podcast. Obviously, no one ever wrote back or even took the time to write me back, or didn't come on or even take the time to write me back. But I did reach out to them. I didn't want to have this podcast while offering them. And I wrote that the day I wrote you as well. So that was about 2 weeks ago now. So I did give them a fair opportunity, just like the Atlanta newscaster did for them as well. They didn't reach out. I'm sure they reached out the same day as they did the interview for you, though. I gave them enough time to at least give me a written response. If they would have said something, I would have tried to hold out or done another podcast with them as well, and have an open invitation for anyone from USA Wrestling or UWW to come on here and talk with us as well. Maybe they can explain it better. Maybe they actually have a real reason that makes sense, because I don't hear a reason that makes sense at all.
Well, their main reason, what they're telling us, is we can't do anything. It's UWW. But the truth of the matter is, you already gave us permission before. And the truth of the matter is, factual evidence that when we qualified, you simply took the alternate. Okay, we understand. We get it. We get it that we're not in a position right now to address it with UWW, or USA Wrestling is unwilling to fulfill their obligation to us as American citizens and take it to UWW and fight on our behalf. Okay, I get it. We have to talk about that a little bit. But what we're requesting is we should have the right to compete in our own damn country. How do you keep American citizens out of wrestling tournament and foreigners could come in? Boy, that sounds kind of familiar with what's going on in the country, doesn't it? But foreigners could come in and wrestle at the tournament. But an American citizen whose blood has been here for 400 years, no, you don't have no right. You don't have a right to compete here.
And
basically what they're saying is it's out of our hands.
They keep trying to pass the blame onto UWW and keep trying to push us and encourage us to go international with it. That's, at this point, that's not what we're doing. We're staying domestic with it. And so we're fighting for the opportunity to compete at USA Wrestling events, regardless of whether or not they're qualifying competitions. Whether or not if we can go, I think that would have to be fought with UWW at that time. But if we're not allowed to go, we haven't won that battle yet, then they take the alternate just like they did with Latifah. But they keep trying to pass the blame and say, well, it's not us. We have to operate under UWW guidelines. It's a guideline. And that they, during our hearing this past Thursday, said that they don't have to abide by federal law. And so
they don't have to abide by the U.S. Constitution.
I'm not a lawyer. We have a lawyer who could speak a lot more on this. But from my understanding of it, under federal law, they are required to allow me to compete in USA Wrestling sanctioned events because they are a national governing body for wrestling. And to deny me the opportunity in a religiously adhering uniform would be religious discrimination. And so even USA Wrestling's lawyer cited a case, Menorah versus State of Illinois, and they tried to use it as their basis to why my uniform wouldn't be approved to compete, and why it's a safety issue. And so essentially in this case, it was a high school basketball team where Jewish
yeshiva.
Were fighting for the opportunity to wear their yarmulke during games. And it was the same safety issues. It could fall off. It could make someone slip. And USA Wrestling presented it like the students lost. That's not what happened. It was deemed that if Illinois State or the high school association didn't let them compete with the yarmulke on, that it would be religious discrimination. And they had to allow the Jewish students to wear their yarmulkes during basketball games.
With some sort of modification.
And if modifications couldn't be made to adhere to their safety concerns and adhere to their religious requirements of the yarmulke, they had to make an exception for those students to be able to wear the yarmulke in the way that adhere to their religious beliefs. And if they didn't allow it, then it would be religious discrimination. And so that was the case that USA Wrestling cited.
There's some pretext to that. If you go and you read the citation, the legal citation, the very first few paragraphs read in a way that actually sounds like the yeshiva, the Jewish high school, lost. But you keep reading, and it's not what they won. They won, and then it's at the federal level, and then the basketball association appealed at the federal level to like an appellate court, and they subsequently lost again. But if you only read the first few paragraphs, it almost reads like the Jewish students lost. And that's what their $1,000 an hour lawyer cited. Now, we didn't know. I didn't know. My lawyer didn't know of this case. So once we got off, my daughter actually found the case, and we read it. And it's like, wait a minute, this guy. So he was either disingenuous or an idiot. One of the two.
And the findings said like if they didn't amend their rules or like reinterpret them to allow for their religious head covering, that the rule would be inapplicable to those students because it would be a violation of their religious freedom. So our argument is that we're not taking this international. We're not going to UWW. We're arguing that as an American citizen, we have the right to compete at USA Wrestling events under federal law in a religiously adherent uniform. And if it's not, then it's a violation of our religious freedom. So a lot of everywhere you look at, they're kind of saying it's an international issue. This is IOC. IOC has the same rule. UWW has the same rule. That's not what we're going at right now. So we're staying with USA Wrestling competitions right now, but.
So, like, at least that would give you a bit of economic advantage at the end, because then you can say, I made the U.S. world team even if we weren't allowed to compete. But that still sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, yeah. At least it gives you, like, some coverage, and it gives you an ability to compete. Because really what you're asking for is an ability to compete. But, I think you can compete at the highest levels. I think you girls are always going to win. Like, I believe in you guys 100%. So, I mean, we already are thinking of the next level then too.
I was actually told at the hearing that I would be allowed to compete at USA Wrestling events, just not qualifying competitions. Mm-hmm. And when I asked, okay, what USA Wrestling event is there that I could compete at that's not a qualifying competition? I was told I could compete at Fargo. For those who don't know, Fargo is a high school competition. I'm 21 years old. Sophomore in college, age group wise, I'm not allowed to compete at Fargo. And when I brought that to their attention, they're like, well, you could. And I'm like, well, I can't. They're like, well, I guess we don't have any age group competitions that aren't qualifying events. So there are literally no USA wrestling competitions that as a 21-year-old, I'm allowed to compete at.
Because all senior level competitions are UWW sanctioned. Any UWW sanctioned event, they are not allowed to attend. All senior level tournaments are UWW sanctioned, even in Canada. So even if we try to just go to across the border and compete at the Canada Open, no, that's a UWW sanctioned event. They can't come.
Wow. So just to be clear, what is there professionally for an amateur wrestler to do after college?
Maybe an open? maybe a college open?
Right. There's really nothing though, right? So like your entire wrestling career is amateur based. It's not like basketball, like, well, go be a pro. Like you can't just go to the next level. There's no professional level where you can go compete at. Like the highest level of wrestling is the elite amateur level, which you're not allowed to compete at. So effectively they're telling you to quit wrestling. Just stop wrestling.
Right. I mean, how do you train? How do you train knowing that like people you're beating are getting opportunities that you're not even afforded? How do you get up every day? How do you lift, run, cut weight? You know, I applaud my daughters because I'm not making them do it. I know a lot of people here in Western New York think it's just dad makes the girls. Nah, I'm not even in Georgia. I'm not. They're killing it because they're after it. They're after it. It's you know, and I want to support them, right? And that's. That's all I'm after. I want them to be able to have the opportunity to try to achieve their goals. You say you know they'd win. I don't know that, but I know I'd like love for them to have the opportunity. That's what I know.
I watch them training from little kids. I know they're going to win, just like all the other kids.
Amen. Well, you know, and basically, you know, it's kind of like when you're talking to these people, the USA Wrestling, it's kind of like they're the Gestapo or, you know, some sort of gang. And, you know, basically what they're saying to us is America is free and you're free to do exactly what the hell we tell you to do. You have the freedom to wear what we tell you to wear. Right. And you have the freedom to say exactly what we tell you to say. That's basically what's happening here, which is tantamount to no freedom at all. You know, so this is almost a bigger issue than just wrestling.
Where does this put you, Jamila, like in a mind state of going forward your wrestling career? Does it like take something away from you, or does Life University give you that the desire and drive? Because at least you can be national champion, not world champion, but you can be at least the best in the United States collegiately.
I think that definitely helps a lot, knowing that I at least have two more college seasons left. But I think like long term, it's like these could be the last 2 years that I could wrestle. Like it could literally be the last 2 years that I can competitively wrestle. And even I was asked, I was like, well, would you try and go for 28? Would you fight to go to 28? And I was like, that's 4 years away. I'll be out of college for 2 years at that point. Will I be able to mentally do everything? Will I be able physically in a state as healthy as I am right now to compete as well as I could then? I don't know, probably not. Will I be able to train for 2 years with no promise of an opportunity? Just a potential that I might be approved to wrestle, to train consistently, to cut weight, keep my weight under control, to calorie count and weigh my food and my water and lift and do rehab and deal with all the stuff that comes with wrestling, the mental side, like how draining it can be to go through that for 2 years with no promise that I could compete. That'd be pretty hard. So it's right now, I think life kind of puts a band-aid on it, for right now, but I know even who knows when I'm 20 years from now, how I'll feel having lost just this past weekend, or how I might feel like the regret of not continuing to train with that possibility, or the regret of training for those 2 years and beating my body up, and then I'm in pain for the rest of my life. So it's not just right now, and I don't think we'll ever know the full effects of it for years, or how I'll be able to deal with potentially my daughters not having the opportunity, or even having less opportunity than me, because then they retract even further and say, well, yeah, no NAIA, no NCAA for you either.
No high school.
No kids class. Yeah.
Yeah. So, right. I mean, let's be clear. The wrestling community is kind of prejudicial. I mean, that kid getting his locks cut off at the wrestling tournament, that's just the one we know of. That's just the one we know of.
We faced it. Like, we faced it after 9/11 in the wrestling room. Faced it with Muhammad. So, for everyone that doesn't know, when I first met Mustafa, it was, like, literally days after 9/11 happened. Comes in dressed in traditional Muslim garb. Everyone slides away from him, sits on the wall, and no one wanted to work with his kid or him. Or, like, we just took Muhammad in, and we did the best that we could with him, and I think we did a pretty good job. Like, you guys came in and you changed a lot of people's opinion about the Muslim faith, which I thought was awesome. You taught me all, but I didn't do nothing. I was prejudiced too, but I was like, whatever, they're in the restroom, man. Everyone's even in here. Like, you know, I didn't know. I really didn't know. I didn't know anything about the Muslim faith.
But you were open-minded and you gave us a chance. We're indebted to you. She is indebted to you, and she wasn't even born then. Right? Really?
Yeah. And like, I saw it. Like, I see what you face. I see what you face at tournaments. And like Muhammad, they wouldn't let him wrestle with his beard, and you had to go through all this for just a beard. And now you're going through it again. And like, it's a
same argument, by the way.
Yeah, same thing.
Same unsafe, safety hazard. Same thing. It's like every time you're not. Every time you're doing something you don't like.
Right after he graduates.
Yeah.
To where anyone, high school and college, can have a full beard if they want after he graduates.
Yeah. Sad. I wish he would have tried for the UB job. UB is looking for a head coach. And it's a mess over there.
I think they hired somebody.
Yeah, it was a mess over there. A lot of stuff happened with Stutzman that was unfair. And, like, Muhammad would have been a person to come in there because he wouldn't put up with no bullshit. He'd be in or out. Like, it would be – like, I thought he was a perfect job to clean up UB. And, like, he wasn't interested, but he would have been the guy for it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And Stutzman was a great guy. I'm thankful for everything he did. I think people don't really realize what people have to deal with when it comes to the University of Buffalo. It's a research institute, and athletics, well, as far as wrestling, doesn't mean much to the institute. And, you know, and he really didn't, Stutzman, unfortunately, didn't have a lot of support. And the community really, they kind of didn't support him as well. They made it kind of tough for him. Western New York can get kind of tough when it comes to wrestling. You know, and I think that, you know, I'm really sad for that. You know, I think subsequently what happened afterwards with those guys leaving, or with the kids going into the portal and then coming out to the administration and saying, look, you mistreated our coach. I think that was important. I think that was important. And I think the next guy who takes that position, he better pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. He better pay attention to what those kids were saying. But anyways, you know, thank you, Coach. Thank you for giving my family an opportunity.
No, like everyone should. Like I don't think I did anything special. Like I still don't, even to this day. So I really think everyone should be the same way. I'm not different than anybody else. You know, like we're all the same.
No, you are. And I'm thankful for it.
Thank you. This is a question from Karis. Ms. Karis, she put this in here. This is Team Dems. Has USA Wrestling and the UWW provided any empirical evidence on the uniform?
I asked for it. I have not received it. they said they conducted that test, that study, but they have not provided us with any empirical evidence.
I mean, just from what they told us from a scientific examination, having two people wrestle means absolutely nothing. There's no statistical significance whatsoever from a scientific standpoint. And they're the one talking about they needed to do the research. So, but we've got 250 matches.
Not only that, they're probably not wearing the same thing that Jamila and Latifa and Zayna wear either. I mean, you guys have modified it yourselves to make it better. The Velcro, the tapered, the rash guard material, like there's a lot of stuff. I've seen it. You can go see, there's videos of them wrestling all over the place. Go to any Life University, you can see them training in the wrestling room. There's the YouTube videos of you guys before you left for Life, I believe. Whenever you guys shot that ESPN video, you guys are wrestling in your guard there, and you can see it's way better than like training in the gi. It's way better than training like no gi, and when someone's wearing a loose t-shirt, it's not like loose, it's not baggy where you get caught. And I'm so sure it's a competitive disadvantage, too, even though you don't want to say that. I mean, maybe the only advantage you get is maybe you can get a little bit better grips on the body lock yourself, but it's not worth giving up everything you're giving up. Like, I mean, I can just imagine trying to get out of a leg lace, like when someone's like holding your pants as well as your, you know, like this is a good grips to like really fight through. And man, I think it's a huge disadvantage to you, not even just the heat part.
Yeah. I think there are kind of two points with what you just said. Like, you can go into any wrestling room and see us training and what we wear, but you can also go into any wrestling room and see that the other people training are not training in singlets. Like, no one shows up at practice unless maybe it's a competition, you know, simulated practice. Wrestlers are known to wear sweatpants and sweatshirts, and they're known to layer up and wear baggy clothes. I mean, even was it Kerry Kola who said he only wears sweatpants and long sleeve shirts to practice? And he's one of the country's highest and most accomplished wrestlers. He doesn't train in a singlet. So, And for us in practice, we don't wear, like, we'll wear pretty much what we compete in for practice. So our shirt at practice is untucked. It's not tucked in. It's not Velcroed. It's not tapered. Our coaches will actually order us larger sized shirts so they can be baggier and more modest. And we have never had any of our teammates be injured during practice because of what we're wearing. But yeah, I mean, I think like people try and say, well, you know, your hands could get caught. And if you could beat someone in the wrestling room, you can beat them on the mat in a singlet. And if you can beat them on the mat in a singlet, you can beat them in the wrestling room. I don't think them. And I think that's the point too, is it's like, it's not like no-gi jiu-jitsu and gi jiu-jitsu where the sport completely changes. Like, gi jiu-jitsu, now you have lapel chokes and you have a whole other world opens up with a gi. And in no gi, you have a lot more leg locks and ankle locks and different kinds of things. That's not how it is for wrestling. It's not like now I'm wearing pants, you can't hit a high crotch, or now I'm wearing pants, I have a opportunity to score that you don't have. It's wrestling does not change at all with us wearing this uniform. You can still hit your shots. you can still defend. I can still defend. Like, it doesn't change at all. So, yeah.
You just thought you got ahead of character points. Like, do all the other wrestlers, men and women, always train and practice in singlets only? Like, as we're going through it, I didn't want to put it up while you're talking, but like, man, the people are thinking just like we're talking about. So at least we're conducting this podcast pretty good. We're answering the questions that people are having. I have never seen anyone in practice wear like clothes that fit. And very rarely have I ever been injured in practice by someone's clothes. Every now and then you get someone that's wearing like loops and you get your finger caught in a loop. Like sometimes people wear gi pants and you catch them in the loop, even though it's wrestling class, or like they're wearing like regular pants and you catch it in a loop. Like, because sometimes people are a little bit wild and wear jeans to practice. I don't know. And but like I've never really got caught in a t-shirt. Every now and then, like, you get caught in pants sometimes, but like not like if they're taped at the ankles, like when they're loose and you know, like all the sweat coming out and it's gross and it's super wet, like when you got sauna suit underneath, like every now and then you can get caught. But if it's taped, you're not going to get caught in that, because that when you sweat like that, it just opens up the pants and they get real baggy. And like, you should always tape that anyways if you're sweating that much, but not everyone does. And like, besides those two things, I've been wrestling, I don't know, I'm 46 now. I started when I was 8. I've been wrestling a really long time. I've never been injured by like clothes like that. And I'm just saying that's a lifetime experience too.
Yeah, perhaps you're the anomaly then, because apparently everybody else has experienced broken fingers from clothes in wrestling practice. I mean, I myself have been wrestling since high school, and you and me, we're probably the only two.
I broke a lot of fingers, but usually it's from like people's heads and shoulders and the mat, and like it's not usually from like clothes. Like finger injuries are part of the sport as well. I mean, like that's why my fingers look like this. You know, they're not so normal.
Yeah,
they're just fingers.
You said you got 10 of them. God gave you 10.
Yeah, I got 8 fingers, 2 thumbs. I only need like these two, and I'm good. You got these two, I'm good. All the rest are just decorations. Actually, I just need this one and another one. It's like any one of them will work. I can still grab stuff with anyone.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, so where we are, we have a lawyer. We have a lawyer involved. We also have a civil rights agency involved, just as recently as today. You know, this just looks like it's going to be a drawn out process from here on in. We've started the petition. We hope that people would spread it and keep signing it and keep talking to people about it. And maybe somebody out there will get wind of it. And if we get enough wind in the sail, maybe it'll provide pressure to USA Wrestling so that we don't have to go the complete route, which leads all the way up to litigation. You know, I'm not. Listen, I just want my daughters to wrestle. I'm not trying to change the world. I just, you know, I just want them to have that opportunity.
Andre Stokes said, "I've never lost a grappling round." Said, "You beat me because your shirt was too big." Yeah.
You know, it's funny. After 200 matches, there have, you know, we've not received any complaints. Yeah. And it's gonna, if you go watch their matches on YouTube, for example, it's gonna be hard for someone even to make those complaints because they're just getting smashed. They're literally their style that my daughters apply to them is like in your face and constantly pressuring them. So, and you know, the cameras are pretty good. You can see what's going on. And so we've not received any complaints.
Also had a lot of matches that we've lost. So like there are match, like we don't win everything, and there are people who have beat us. We're clearly beatable, I think it goes both ways. Like, yeah. But
I want to touch a couple quick points and do a quick touch ups. Number one, all the links for everyone to email. Just write one email and email everyone on the list are found in the header for this. So you can go in and see the description, what we're talking about. I included everyone's email. If you need a stock email, I'll write a stock email for you guys. Reach out to me and then just send it with your email address to every email on that list. The petition is also in there, so you can just click the link and go to the petition and sign it. I don't know how much that helped, but every little bit helps. So, you know, if we can get a couple hundred people to all do that, that's a few hundred emails that they got at least delete to get to their important emails. So that'll help. I do want to touch a little bit about the lawyers. So how much is this of your own money are you spending to fight this? This seems like a very expensive proposition for you.
Well, right now the Civil Rights Agency isn't requiring anything. As far as the lawyer, we're working with him. We'll see how things go. I'm not quite sure what he's going to look at, but I think he'll take care of us either way. You know, I haven't gotten permission from him to speak on what our deal is. So I probably have to talk to him first to get the permission for that.
Okay.
As far as the Civil Rights Agency, there's no charge from the Civil Rights Agency.
Awesome. If we can help you in any way with that, or maybe like fundraiser to help you come up with money for lawyers' fees, I would love to help you out with the podcast. I'll do a fundraiser at the gym, like something. I'll make some kind of fundraiser at the gym and help you guys with some money. I don't, you know, I'm not independently wealthy, but I would love to help you guys as much as we can. And with enough people, if we can pull together, we can always raise money. Like that should never be a concern too. And being able to threaten with a lawyer is a very powerful tool. So I want to make sure that we have that tool in our tool belt.
No, thank you so much. You know, hold on. Let's see how this stuff goes. I don't know where it's going to go. Like every day is new, every bit of information we find out, like just before meeting you, we were speaking with the Civil Rights Agency. So, you know, and they had one idea about which way to go until they spoke to us. And then they were like, oh, okay, well, let's just start hitting the airwaves and make press releases, you know. So it kind of changed where I thought we were headed. And but they're also willing to give the lawyer, we have some aid and assistance. So now I don't know how that's going to go, but we have people who are involved. So, you know, the best thing right now is to spread the word and pray to your Lord and ask them to help. If what we're doing is right and correct, then pray that, you know, God give it success. And if
we need prayer for real.
Right. Well, but if it's not, then may God protect us from it and stop it. Right. I try to tell my daughters, don't be mad. Don't be mad because God allowed it to get to this point. So who are you going to get angry with? He allowed it to get to this point. And if there's some good to come from it, it will come. And if not, I'm cool with that too. I'm still going to do my duty. We're still going to fight till all the doors close. But until then, right, we're still fighting.
I always think that people are given an opportunity to rise up and fight for what they believe in. And I think this is our opportunity to do this. And I think we need to not just do it ourselves. We need to, like me and you both, we have this habit of like taking the whole world on by ourselves. And sometimes we can't do that. Sometimes we need a team and a family. And we need people for this. So we need to draw people in. And I'm doing my best to help with this. And I hope that, like, as a family myself, I take too much on. And I know you have the same thing. How often you work and how much you do on your own too. And sometimes we need to reach beyond ourselves, and like opportunities like this is a good opportunity for us to grow as well. And really learn how to take help from other people. So hopefully I can help you and other people can help us. I do want to read this one first. This is like, it's powerful. Jamila earned her spot. She didn't give up a single point all season. The decision by UWW shows prejudice and ignorance. And this is 2024. We should be ashamed that this is even an issue. And I agree with that 1,000%. And she writes way better than I speak, so at least I could read that.
I do just have to say thank you, Ms. Karras, but I did give up some points during the season. I didn't give any up at nationals. At nationals, yeah. I went unscored on, but during the complete season, I did give up points. But thank you.
Points.
Yeah. I should turn my medals in and quit the team.
Yeah, melt them down.
How dare you let someone score on you? You're a disgrace to the McBrides.
Yes, definitely. Is there anything that we didn't touch on?
I think the one thing that needs to be understood is, again, about the uniform is that it's not just for Muslim women. And I think if you give girls, particularly girls, the opportunity of wearing something different with wrestling, I think a lot more girls would wrestle. I mean, I knew growing up, especially in the inner city, you know, when kids see the singlet, right, they're like, oh, hell no, I'm not wearing that. You know, and wrestling has kind of got hip to it a little bit by, you know, affording them the rash guard and shorts, right? But I think that relaxed approach should lend itself to what my daughters wear, which would allow other girls, Muslim or otherwise, the opportunity of remaining covered. And, you know, this what my daughters are doing is they're kind of breaking the mold of what's normally done in that regard in terms of dress, but they're also breaking the mold in terms of even girls wrestling with guys. My daughters have never wrestled with guys. They've never did jiu-jitsu with guys. And so the prevailing thought is that in order for girls to get better, they've got to wrestle with guys. Well, I don't know. I got some pretty tough girls that are ranked nationally. She's ranked number one in the country right now. Zaina's ranked number one in the country in the NAIA right now. Latifah's ranked number two in the country, and they've never wrestled with guys. So I don't think, you know, I think there's a different way. That's my point. There's a different way if people would allow. And in that different way, having that option, I think wrestling becomes more inclusive as opposed to exclusive.
Any last thoughts for you, Jamila?
I think the only thing for me is, at least with this weekend, like how much of a lost opportunity it was, because literally, I mean, as we kind of talked about, it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And, you know, just going through the brackets and looking and seeing, like, out of all the athletes in the United States, all the wrestlers in the United States, 230 of them qualified to compete at trials across men and women's freestyle and men's Greco, and 81 qualified for women's freestyle. And to be one of 81 women in the country to qualify to compete and not be able to, that's like really hard to like know that I was able to get that far and not be able to go any further. And then even harder to watch the tournament, like as it's been going on, and know like I could have been there. Like, I, you know, in Islam, we try not to say like, if only, you know, try and stay away from that thought process. But it was hard as it was happening to like watch it happen. And then see people that I've competed against win matches and place. You know, to just go forward hoping that not only for myself, but for Latifah and Zaina, and for all the other women in college and high school and the young girls, that they don't have to go through that as well. And they don't have to lose those opportunities. And they don't have to lose that experience. Because it is special. And, you know, one day you'll look back and appreciate it. And so that fight to make a change so that no one else has to experience it.
Yeah, that's powerful. I'm like in a stage of my life where I'm kind of reflective now. Like I'm like past all my competitive age and looking back now. And I can't imagine if I had to look back at an opportunity like that and I didn't get a chance to because someone told me I couldn't. Not because I wasn't able to do it, but because I physically was not allowed to compete. And I think that's awful. And I think one thing we didn't touch on when you said, could you do it in 2028, is like, it's incredibly difficult to make the Olympics in any sport. It's the best, it's literally the best people in the world. And every day is not only a physical grind, it's a mental grind too, because not only do you have to keep your body from falling apart, you have to keep getting better at your sport. You don't even know if you're going to make the team or not when you're training. You're dedicating years of your life. And this is for normal people that already have the ability to compete. This is not for someone that's like, man, I might not even get a chance to compete. So the mental difficulty that this adds to your journey is incredible. And if you're hurt, it's not like the NBA. There's no one that's going to take care of you. You lost out here some more money. Like, it's not like the NFL. There's no insurance. There's no nothing. If you get hurt, you're just hurt forever. And no one cares about it. No one's going to even know who you were. And no one's going to, if you won the Olympic gold medal, like a couple thousand people in the country are going to know who you are. Like, it's not really a popular sport to begin with. Right. And if you get hurt trying to win an Olympic gold medal in wrestling, no one's going to, it's not like you're a huge basketball star and like, oh, good job here. Come here. It's like, it's really a toil in being unknown. And it's really just something that you do for labor of love, and to be able to do that and not have a, not be awarded, not being sure that you even have the opportunity. If you are the best, if you are the best person in the world, that you still may not even get to compete. It's got to be tough. And it's like, I can't even imagine like how I feel getting up in the morning training. Not now, because now you have something to train for. Now you still, I'll show all them guys, I'm going to be 3-time, you know, national champion, right? Or 4-time national champion, or however many more years you have of eligibility. You know, at least you can do that. But like after that, then what, you know? And it's not like they're going to let you in to fight. You have to do the same thing. You have to like be able to get your uniform approved, and you have to be able to fight someone with not serving alcohol, and you have to be, there's not really a lot of opportunities for you, you know? So it feels terrible. And I've watched your entire family struggle through this over and over again. And I'm sad with everybody. And like, I'm sad with my countrymen. I'm sad with my peers. I'm sad that more people don't care and they're not like helping out more. Like, it all bothers me. And I don't know. I feel like I need to say that before I let everyone go. I don't know what else to say. Like, I feel such grief for your family. Like, it's not grief because, I mean, you guys are out there, you're working hard, you're at least, you have a good work ethic, your lives are going to be great, but it's still an opportunity that you're being denied just because of what you believe in. And that's something I don't think is fair. And I hate when things aren't fair.
We're built for it.
Yeah, you are. So bite the thumb. Just bite back harder.
Just bite harder, right?
That's right.
Just bite harder.
I know. Man. I don't really have anything more to say. So if you guys got more, shoot out.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for giving us this opportunity. Thank you for giving us the opportunity 20 something years ago with Muhammad. And literally, if it wasn't for you giving Muhammad that opportunity, we don't know, Muhammad may never have wrestled. Me and my sisters most likely would have never wrestled without you and Coach Keith Mowdy and the community in Buffalo is you, Coach Keith Mowdy, Coach Keith Ferrant, and Joshua Ketchery, and everyone who's helped us along the way has really made it possible. And you guys gave us opportunities when no one else would. When people turned us away, or wanted us to be turned away, and you guys fought on our behalf, so thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks a lot.
I watch you guys grow up, man. It's I'm just blessed to watch you guys become great. There's such love in your family and such support. like looking on the outside, it looks rough and harsh. Like you look rough and harsh, but then like you're this big, soft, lovable guy. Like once you get to know you, even though you're a savage, like you're like what a man's supposed to be, you know. And I appreciate that. It's hard to find good men these days, and like you girls are savages. And if it's not for me, like it would have been someone else. You would have found somewhere to go in wrestling. Like your dad's too. He would have started something for you guys. Muhammad would have still wrestled. I don't really have anything to do with it. Your dad is like the driving force of you guys being great. I'm glad I could be an assistant to that force, but he would have found a way. He always does. That's why he's a great man.
There's no chance in this. There was no chance. This was by design. You know, our relationship, our friendship, subsequently our families growing up, and your involvement, you giving them the opportunity of coaching an all-women's class in Western New York, like, there's no chance in that, Jeff. There is no chance. This was by design. And that's, you know, I think believing in that lends itself to the idea that the design has plans for the future, and it's okay, whatever it is, however it turns out. And God willing, it'll be okay. It'll be good. It'll be good. You know, and I think, you know, like for myself, not watching, I didn't watch any of the wrestling this weekend because it was just kind of, I was finding myself getting like kind of like hot and angry. Right. So I didn't watch any. And I, you know, my wife would have to tell me like some of the outcomes and the results. And, but I have to tell myself that, you know, again, to reassure myself, it'll all turn out well, you know. It all in Islam, we believe that when we pray to God, that God always answers the prayers and supplications of the believer, and that you just have to be patient. Sometimes you get exactly what you wanted when you wanted it. Sometimes you get better than what you wanted at some other time. But either way, you're gonna get it. If you're a true believer, it'll come to you. You just have to be patient.
Karis just wrote, remember this decision doesn't define you and doesn't change any of the truth. Everything you have put forth and results you have achieved. So that's true. Nothing can take away everything that you have achieved. I do want to thank Life University. We don't talk at all, like on social media or anything. Like I just watch you guys through like what I see on Life University, and I've watched you guys blossom. Become leaders. You've always been leaders, but like real leaders of women. And it's been an enjoyable journey watching. Every time I open up my Instagram stories and see something about Life University or see you guys wrestling, it always makes me happy a little bit inside. And I followed you from afar, and I just wanted you to know that like I'm very impressed by all you guys. I'm glad life is going good. We talked a little bit in the green room before Dad got here about like college life is awesome, and you got family down there now, and it feels like family. And I'm very happy that you found a spot. It's very difficult to find a spot in life, and while you're there, enjoy this time. Like you got two more years and live it up. It's going to be really fun, and you guys can turn the world over and show them how good you are.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, we're over an hour, guys. That was an awesome podcast. Like I said, please like and subscribe to everything I do. Of course, that would help me. But it helped them even more. If you go back into the header, there's all the – I copied and pasted all the email addresses, so I don't even have to go into the petition to find them. You can just copy and paste them all and send them out. If you need a letter, shoot me a message. I'll write one, a generic one, and then you can just put your name in it and send those out. Don't forget to change the name, though. Otherwise, you're copying. But just spam them. Make 100 email accounts if you're smart, and just keep spamming for different email account every day. And that'll help us all out a lot too. I love that your light, you never fix that light. It always goes out on you. It's like this.
It's a reminder of my wife. My wife is down with my daughters. Right. And yeah. I just feel like, you know, before I used to get real angry every time it went off, but now when it goes off, it reminds me of how much I miss her and love her. Cause she's down there with the girls helping them, you know, helping them achieve their goals. That's how committed, you know, we as a family are, and how committed my wife is. She, you know, she dropped everything, went down there, and she's helping them. And, you know, so I leave it as a reminder to me, you know, and every time it goes off, I say, I love you. That's in my mind.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. That's a great way to end the podcast, too.
No doubt.
All right, guys, make sure you like and subscribe. Check out all the stuff and the header, please. Definitely click the petition, sign up for the petition. Let's do everything we can for Jamila. I mean, the wrestling's over. Maybe we can get some kind of wrestle off or something. But let's pray.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray.
All right, guys. Thank you for your time. And we're going to be out of here.